Blog Talk Radio.
Dallas Mavericks are world champions for the first time in their 31-year history. They take out the Miami Heat in six games, 105-95. Congratulations to the city of Dallas. All those years of going of torment after following the 2006 finals, that is now erased. It's irrelevant. Doesn't mean anything anymore. They have killed and totally stomped those demons. Stop those demons. 347, as always, the call number is 347-215-6180. You can also hit me up at twitter.com. Follow me at twitter.com/WilliamGerald or hit me up at blogtalkradio.com/SurrealQuinn, facebook.com/SurrealQuinn. So many different directions I can go in to begin this. And trust me, I have plenty on the Miami Heat. I have more. I could do about 10 shows on the Miami Heat. But to me, this is a Dallas night. This is about the Dallas Mavericks. I want to give them their absolute just dessert. And this was their game. You know, they got off to a slow start. Got down 20 to 11. But after that, they found a rhythm offensively. Really went on a big time run into the first quarter at 32-27. And after that, you know, you felt good about that going. You felt good about Dallas at that point, and also into halftime. They up 53-51. Nowitzki struggling. Terry's on fire. DeSean Stevens came in, made some big shots. Their bench was playing well. Even Nahimi, who was on the floor because of foul trouble, came in and contributed. You felt good because the pace was Dallas's. There was no way that Miami was going to win a three-point shooting contest or a jump shooting contest for the Dallas Mavericks. LeBron James came out hot in the first quarter, hit four straight shots, made four straight shots, but only had the one layup. All of them were jump shots. He would miss five out of his next six shots and really, for the most part, was not heard from for the rest of the game. I know he ended up with 21 points, but he had six turnovers, and the only time he impacted the game was in the first quarter. Two things that killed Miami in this game. One was the turnovers. They had a bunch of turnovers that Dallas capitalized on. Well, three things. The turnovers, Dallas' three-point shooting. Dallas was shot like 11 for 26 from the three-point line, and the free throw shooting for Miami killed them. Miami missed 13 to 14 free throws. They were very tight. I mean, Miami was extremely tight in this game. And you felt like Dallas always kept them at arm's bay with the lead. They kept the lead at anywhere from four to eight points over the course of the game. And Miami got very tight in that fourth quarter. I mean, they didn't want to shoot the ball. They had some inexcusable turnovers. You know, Dwayne Wade finally had an off game, 6 for 16 for 17 points. You saw Wade get a technical foul. You saw things come out. You saw the differences between these two teams over the course of not only the series, but over the course of the game, in terms of one team being physically superior, but the other team being mentally superior. And there was no question that Dallas was the more mentally tougher team. Dallas gets down 20-11. Okay, no problem. We'll go on a run. We'll go on a run and take a lead in the second quarter. By the end of the first quarter, Miami hits Dallas with a big time run in the second quarter, 14-0. They go up 42-41. Okay, we'll finish the half strong. End up with the lead, despite the fact that Dirk Nowitzki was struggling, had foul trouble. Tyson Chandler had foul trouble. Throughout the course of this series, in the adverse situations, Miami folded while Dallas thrived. Whether it was down 15 in game two, whether it was losing game three, following up in game four, Miami had an answer. Anything Dallas, Miami threw at Dallas, Miami, Dallas had an answer for. They had an answer for it. A couple of performances that stood up. Obviously, Jason Terry had a tremendous game, was a player of the game. And I give that away early, but you already knew that he would have been was going to be our player of the game. Tremendous game for him. He scores 27 points, 11 for 16 from the field. Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd had a tremendous series, and it cannot be go understated how well he played. It really can't. I mean, Kidd to me was all over the place defensively. Yeah, you know, at times he had to think about his assignments. He has to, you know, obviously he has to run the team. He guarded LeBron James and Dwayne Wade for the majority of the series. Okay, two of the five best players in the league. He made every big shot known to man in terms of those three-point shots. Makes a big three in game five. Had two huge three-pointers in that third quarter. I mean, timely three-pointers. It cannot be understated how well he played in this series. Flirted with a triple-double in this game. But just timely plays, timely defensive plays. You know, again, his leadership, his defense, the intangibles that he brought to the table was spectacular. There's all there is to it. It cannot be understated. His contributions to this game, to that game. I thought Deshaun Stevenson played extremely well. Made some big shots, some big three pointers, and I was dead wrong about Deshaun Stevenson after game one, saying that he could not play in the series along with Stojakovic. I was right on the money about Stojakovic, but dead wrong about Stevenson. Stevenson played good defense, made some big threes, shot the ball well from outside, didn't try to do too much, really had a good series in his own right. J.J. Barea killed Miami the last two games of this series. I mean, just totally just destroyed them. I mean, he lived in the lane. Had a huge three-point shot in the fourth quarter at 81-77 to put Dallas up by seven. I mean, this was a game where Dallas just made all the big shots that they had to make. And the majority of them were three-point shots. Dirk Nowitzki, again, struggled from the field, was like 6 for 23. But, again, not a big fourth quarter. Had 10 fourth quarter points and made big jump shots and really sealed the deal along with Jason Terry and some of the shots he made in that fourth quarter. Again, it looked Miami folded like a cheap suit in the fourth quarter. I mean, they really did. The body language, they had possession where nobody acted like they wanted to shoot the ball. I thought it was Hoosiers. Remember Hoosiers when Gene Hackman was like, "I want four passes before a shot." That's what I thought. I thought we were in Hoosiers. That's how Miami played the fourth quarter, played the possession late in the fourth quarter. I mean, the ball, they must have had about eight or nine passes, and passed up on at least five or six open shots. But again, we'll get to Miami. They have so many. They have more issues. They have issues. Their issues have issues. So we'll get to them. But again, a Dallas night, the Dallas Mavericks, America's team. not the Dallas Cowboys, but the Dallas Mavericks defeat the Miami Heat 105-95 and claim their first world championship. When we return, they're missing, of course, his finals MVP. When we return, we'll have turning point of the game and much, much more on this latest edition of the NBA Finals postgame. We'll be right back. Welcome back to this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review Special Edition. Of course, Game 6 of the NBA Finals is in the books. The NBA season, for that matter, is in the books. And who knows when the next time we'll see some real live basketball as this lockout situation unfolds. But we have plenty of time to talk about that in the coming months. It is all about the Dallas Mavericks, your 2010-2011 world champions. As they interview Jason Terry right now, and I can't help but to think, first of all, Jason Terry was tremendous the last three games of this series. And I'll joking with my cousin and a friend of mine, he really outplayed LeBron James. I mean, to be honest with you. I mean, he really outplayed LeBron James. That's how bad LeBron James was in this series. Terry, of course, had a big game, 27 points. And I remember earlier in the season, after this was back in December, Mavericks had a win over the Lakers at home, first time they played. And Jason Terry said, hey, we're going to be the last team standing. And he said it with conviction. This is in December. And I'm saying to myself, I'm like, listen, dude, it's kind of early to be making that kind of comment right now. But obviously he knew something that the rest of us did not know. And he played a tremendous game, made big shots over the course of his last couple games in this series, particularly in games 5 and 6. And really, Terry held the fort down when Dirk Nowitzki was struggling. Had 19 big first half points, came out hot, and just played a great game. Turning point in this game, there are two turning points as far as I'm concerned. The first one came in the first quarter. Miami is up 20-11. Came out, LeBron James came out hot. Dallas came out, you know, had some turnovers. Looked kind of sluggish to begin with. And Dirk Nowitzki's in foul trouble. Dirk Nowitzki leaves the game with about 5-11 left with two fouls. They're down 22-15. And then all of a sudden, Dallas goes on a huge run, ends the quarter up 32-27. If you're the Miami Heat, you cannot, in an elimination game, with Dirk Nowitzki on the bench with two fouls, not have the lead after the first quarter, after being up by 9 points in that quarter. You can't give up that. You cannot give up that lead if you want to win. You can't. I mean, you're leaving the door open for Dallas. The closer this game stayed, and I said it in a pregame what I did on CinchCast.com, that the closer this game stays, the more and more pressure is going to be on the Miami Heat. This is natural. That's just the natural course of action when you are the team that's facing elimination. I mean, Dallas knew for sure that they had at least another game to play. Okay, they were guaranteed at least one more game. Miami, of course, was not guaranteed that, and I really think the pressure got to them in this game. The second turning point came in the third quarter. Again, Dirk Nowitzki goes to the bench. The game is about a 4 or 5 point game. And somehow the Dallas Mavericks in the third quarter with a 81-72 lead with Dirk Nowitzki on the bench. Again, Miami blowing a chance to not only cut into Dallas' third quarter lead. But really, they should have had the lead at the end of three quarters with no Dirk Nowitzki on the bench with foul trouble. And that's when you knew it was going to be a Dallas night. 81-72, Dallas was making all the big shots. The game, the pace was all in Dallas' favor. The only way Miami was going to win this game was to play the game in the mid-80s to low-90s and have it be a, you know, an ugly game, a defensive-type game. Once the series got into a scoring fest, which the last two games were, Miami was not going to win. They were not going to win with giving up over 100 points to Dallas. So there's your turning point. When we return, we will have the player of the game and also some final thoughts as well. We'll talk about that and much, much more in this latest edition of the Serial Court Review NBA Finals postgame. The NBA postgame of Seal Club Review NBA Finals postgame edition. Dallas Mavericks are the world champions of this 2010-2011 NBA season. Congratulations to all the Dallas Mavericks fans out there. Again, 2006 was very painful. It was very painful. I mean, that to this day is still one of the worst choke jobs I've ever seen in the NBA Finals, but that has been now put to rest. The Dallas Mavericks are your world champions. Player of the game goes to Jason Terry. Jason Terry, again, when Dirk was struggling, he held down the fort, 11-16, 27 points. I wanted to, you could also make a case for Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd, to me, his defense, his leadership, and those key 3 points he made were huge. He just, you know, Kidd is all-time great. I mean, let's be honest. You're going to hear a lot in the next couple of days about legacies of Dirk Nowitzki and LeBron and Dwayne Wade. How about Jason Kidd's legacy? Jason Kidd drug a New Jersey Nets team out of the abyss to two NBA finals back-to-back, and now gets Dallas and wins a championship with Dallas at 38 years old. Wins a gold medal with USA a couple of years ago. I mean, Jason Kidd has had, forget about Hall of Fame, he's had an all-time great career. He is one of the great players of all time, top 20. I put him in the top 25, top 30 of all time without question. Without question. And if I was ranking, I'm ranking the point guards, I would say I could make a case that Jason Kidd is third greatest point guard of all time. Fourth grade point guard of all time behind Magic, Isaiah, and Oscar Robertson. I put him ahead of Stockton. I put him ahead of Gary Payton. I mean, Jason Kidd is just a tremendous player, and I'm happy for him that he finally gets his championship. When we return, we will have final thoughts, and I'm a vet. To say the least, if you're a Miami Heat fan, you might want to turn to the next station. So I'm about to go all in on the Miami Heat. That's when we return on this latest edition of the Serial Quinn Review NBA Finals. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. Welcome back to this latest edition of the Serial Killer Review NBA Finals Post Game Edition. 347-215-6180 is the call number. The Dallas Mavericks are world champions, 105-95. They take out the Miami Heat, and Miami Heat can keep their talents at South Beach. Miami, the Dallas Mavericks are taking the trophy back to Dallas after winning 4-2. The Miami Heat, you know, I'll say this. I've never despised the team personally or detested the team more than I detest this team, ever. Yankees, Duke, Boston Celtics, Dallas Cowboys, whoever you are, I've never despised a team any more than I despise this team. I felt like, as a Laker fan, that I won a championship tonight. I mean, at least for tonight, I am a Dallas Mavericks fan for tonight. This team was one of the most arrogant, narcissistic teams that we've ever seen. Yet they hadn't won anything. Problem with the Miami Heat are they lack leadership. They lack leadership, and again, I don't know what Pat Riley is going to do about the coaching situation. Before I even get to the on the court stuff, just talk about the off court stuff. The decision, the rap concert. The constant bitching and moaning, oh, the world's a better place because the Miami Heat lost. It's now or never. You know, stuff like that. And that's why nobody liked this team. That's why nobody can root for this team. And that's why that's what makes this so sweet, to watch them burn in flames, go down the way they went down. And they melted like ice cream in June in this particular game, especially in the fourth quarter. And moving forward, you know, I don't know what they possibly can do to improve their roster with the, you know, listen, there's going to be a hard salary cap. You're locked in three players who are making near maximum money. Yeah, who are you going to go after? I heard Mark Jackson say, you know what, everybody will be tradable outside of the big three. Really? So you're going to trade Juwan Howard? You're going to trade Ogaskis? Good luck. You're going to trade Udonis Haslem? I mean, what moves are the Miami Heat going to make? The scary thing about Miami is I feel like if they shut up and play basketball, they would be so much better off. They would win a championship, or maybe two, if they shut up and play basketball. They could have won this championship on talent alone with better coaching. They really could have. Because it was like, I mean, you think about, you know, we talk about turning points in these post games. The turning point of the series was game two, down by 15 in the fourth quarter, up one game, nothing. They win that game, they win the series. It's just that simple. It's just that simple. But again, there's no leadership. As Dwayne Wade and LeBron James take the podium, there's no leadership with that team. And I don't know, and I'm very disappointed. You see, we knew what LeBron James was as far as some of the stuff, his antics. We know LeBron James is all about LeBron. We know he's about marketing, want to be a billionaire, and all that other nonsense that's non-basketball related. I'm very disappointed in Dwayne Wade. Because it tells me that you really allowed LeBron to be like a cancer. Some of the behavior, some of the antics that Dwayne Wade did over the course of the season, those things were not happening before LeBron James got there. And I blame that on, LeBron is LeBron. I blame that on Dwayne Wade. It's his team. He has a ring. He has to say, no, LeBron, we're not doing this. We're not, you know, this extra celebration, the Twitter and all that other nonsense. No, we're just going to play basketball, let our on-the-court play do the talking. So I blame some of that. I blame a lot of their lack of leadership on Dwayne Wade. It is Dwayne Wade's team, no question about it. We see who LeBron James is. It's a glorified better version of Scottie Pippen. That's all he is. So this team, to me, lacks maturity. They lack professionalism. They lack leadership. And they frankly lack a coach. Eric Spoelstra is a figurehead, puppet, whatever you want to call him. Who does anybody in the world take Eric Spoelstra seriously? Does anybody really take that guy seriously as a coach? They got a lot of work to do mentally. They have a lot of work to do. I don't know how much. I mean, maybe you can make small tweaks to that roster. I don't see a guy like Steve Nash or these other players, these very good players saying, you know what, I want to go win. I want to go play with Wade and LeBron. I don't see it. They have shooters. I mean, that's not getting the shooters, no big deal. Chalmers, Mike Miller, and James Jones are excellent shooters. It's not getting shooters, not the problem. So, that team, to me, is poetic justice. They didn't deserve to win a championship. We'll see what happens in the offseason. Because it's only going to get harder from here on out. People are going to say, you better get up now. They're going to get better later. Listen, Oklahoma City, Chicago, those teams are coming. Lakers will be back. Depending on what happens with Orlando, with the White Howard, Chris Paul, who knows where those guys end up. It's only going to get harder. It's not going to get easier. There's only going to be more pressure coming in the next year. And again, Dallas beat Miami. Miami didn't lose the series. Dallas won the series. That's all there is to it. They outplayed Miami. They were the better team. They were mentally stronger, and they absolutely deserve to be world champions, without question. Is your call number. Dwayne Wade, LeBron James ends up averaging 17.8 points per game in the NBA Finals. 17.8 in the Finals. We'll see if they grow up come into next season. If they have a lot of maturing to do, a lot. That's going to wrap it up in this latest edition of the post game. I've enjoyed these post games in the NBA Finals with you. Hopefully, we start the NBA season in October instead of January. So we'll see what happens with that. I'll see you on the next Saturday morning wake up call. Have a great evening. Have a great evening. Have a great week. See you later on.